thought I was overdosing. She said, "Are you on something?" My knees were shaking. I was under a great deal of heaviness. The Lord was on me. And I said, I need to repent. God's turning me every which way but loose. I went to college and I'm preparing for the ministry. And the long story short on this end, the devil began to beat me up. "You weren't saved, you weren't saved." You know what? My lack of knowledge made me a little vulnerable to the devil. When you get the knowledge, you understand where you were. And I know on hindsight now, but you know what? The devil was hitting me over the head with it. He was saying, "You aren't willing to be baptized." And I said, "Well, if that's the way you're going to play, I'm getting baptized." I got baptized a second time. The first one was real. I understood. That's why I got right with God as my 16-year-old time came around. I understood. The Bible gives me verses that I didn't even know existed at the time. But in 1 John chapter 3, it says, "He that is born of God cannot go on in sin, for his spirit remains in him." Wow. I couldn't go on. God let me wander, but he brought me back. Now, I understood the gospel. I could have told somebody else what I understood. But for many of us, we don't have a good understanding because we have no foundation. And I want to go on to the next thing. There's evidence. They have a knowledge. They have an experience. But he noticed they didn't have one. Well, when he talks about it, the evidence he's looking for, there's a couple of evidences in the Scriptures that we're told are there. There's a dispositional change. Now, I'm going to hold up the mirror this morning. Is your disposition different? Are you nice? Well, I'm not a very nice person. Well, you're probably not saved. Sorry. Hard news. You're not a nice person, you're probably not saved. God makes nice people. He takes rotten people and makes them nice. Did you know that? It's what He does. He changes our disposition. The Bible says that the disposition becomes one of love, right? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What's he looking for? He's a fruit inspector. "By their fruit you shall know them." What? Have you received the Holy Ghost? What did he say? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So he was looking for some disposition. Now, they might have had some lit up and exciting and zeal and so forth, but they weren't very nice, maybe. I don't know. I just know there's some things we can say he was probably looking at. One is dispositional. Actually, I think these guys were leaning in and trying to get all they could, but they didn't have much of a resource to pull from. So I don't think their problem was really dispositional. But he was looking at something else. And I think maybe this is more to it. There's a declaration that comes with our salvation. I got saved, and it's all about Jesus. That's my declaration. It's not me. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's my declaration. I got nothing. And the child of God knows that. In fact, I got nothing but guilt, shame, and woe. And you know, there are times when I've gone through my life where I've just been at the bottom in my core. And I've been thinking, "Man, you're such an idiot." You say, "Pastor, you think like that too? Man, I thought I was the only one." No, we all think like that. The devil starts hammering us. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He is the diabolos. Diabolos is a word that is made up of a compound of two words in the Greek, the preposition dia, which means through, and balos means to cast. He casts through you accusations. He's a caster through. He's a diabolos. And it's diabolical. I'm no good. The preacher laying in his bed. Nobody likes me. Stuff happens. Really does. But I found in my core that when I've allowed that to go unchecked for a season, and I'm like, day or two, and I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'm no good. I got nothing. It's never going to work. And I'm a failure," or whatever my mind might conjure. Down in my core, I know there's something else just over the other side. You know what it is? It's the Word of God. The Bible says you can only be as filled with the Spirit as you are with the Word of God. And that's why many people despair and fall away from God, because they don't have any Bible verses. And when they get that, "Oh, I'm no good and I'm a failure and why I don't have a business going to church," they got no book. And what's really cool for me in my core is I know I got the book. And whenever I find myself riding along that thread that seems so precarious, I just know there's verses that say this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Horizontally, somebody may point the finger and say, "You messed up." I may point the finger in the mirror and say, "You messed up." But God says, "I do not condemn you, and I am for you. And if I be for you, who can be against you?" They had a lack of declaration. And that was something he saw in them. And some of you this morning have a lack of declaration. You could not verbalize your faith. And if it gets down to it, you don't do church because you feel like a failure. You feel like you got no business being there because if after all everybody knew how you acted, I want you to know something. God knows how you act. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And there is a change in the life. You get nicer, you get more self-control, but you have fruit. Fruit is like something that has to take time to grow. But the fruit of the Spirit is singular. It's love. And from love, everything else proceeds. You know what's neat about love? Is that when you really love somebody, you're not looking down your nose at them. Your grandbabies come along, you know what love is. They can do no wrong till they touch your stuff. Then it's like, honey, you need to get this. But you love them. And you understand that your words have power. And you know what? God's Word has power. And He says, I'm for you. And I love you. And I know you. I don't like being known. I know a lot of people don't. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Now guys, this is about your declaration. And if you don't understand, He knows your deeds are evil. He wants to work on that with you. You let the kids start helping make cookies one day. It's just furs flying, right? But there comes a point where they're making them for you and you're like, I get cookies. I don't even have to work for them. You know what God wants from you? He wants some cookies. He wants you to start doing something in the kingdom. He wants some fruit. Their declaration was out of line, so I think he pretty much put that in order. And he saw that and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And another thing is the discipline. And that is where the Holy Spirit says He bears witness with our spirit in Romans 8. What else does it do? The Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And the discipline of the Spirit is being led by the Spirit. And what does He lead us to? He leads us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Well, I don't want to. Well, I'm fine with that. You know what? You know what? God's fine with that. You don't have to. It's okay. Just so long as you know the score. You're going to play this game, footsies? Okay, God, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. I'm going to play it. No! It's too important. Because not only is it important for your eternal soul, but for the souls of everybody you say you care about. You say you love people and do not the things He tells you to do? Do you think you got a better way? No, we don't. We understand. I got nothing. I'm a sinner. So the discipline is there. And he's seeing, you know. The Bible says that some things are going to be in your life. And so when you talk about being filled with the Spirit, and what is the evidence of the Spirit? It's not foaming at the mouth. It's not running around the aisles. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not raising the dead. Nobody does that, by the way, today. They do all this other stuff they can fabricate, but they can't raise the dead. They can't walk on water. They can't turn water to wine. They can't give sight to a blind man who's been blind. This stuff is goofy, and God is willing for it because He says, I will send you false prophets that I might test you whether you are with me or not. And if you want to be tested, He's willing for it. He says, listen, there's sheep and there's goats. There's wheat and there's tares. And when He went out and sowed the good wheat, He went out there, He was getting, the weed starts coming up. And when the weeds start coming up, his workers said, hey, should we go out and get all those weeds up? They call them tares, right? He says, no, let them grow together. Nope. Because if you pull up a tear, you might rip up somebody else alongside of them. It's a weed. So you just don't touch that. You let them go. And guess what? There's tares all around each one of us. They look like wheat, but God's looking at you. Some of you all have gardens, don't you? Linda said, honey, you got to come out and look at the garden. I'm not a gardener. Yeah, I'm not hungry enough to be a gardener yet. But she likes gardening. I'd garden if I had to, but I don't have to. I go to the store. You know, Meyer's got everything. I'm good with that, okay? And if it costs a little less to get the non-organic, give me some pesticide. Bring it. Save that nickel. Come on out, look at my garden, look at my garden. She's pulling back the leaves. What'd she see? There's a, man, that got cucumber. Man, that's a huge cucumber. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But a gardener pulls back the leaves and looks, doesn't he? God's pulling back some leaves today. Declaration, is it intact? Is your discipline there? How about your disposition? Because it's all about you and God. When it all comes down to it, nobody's going to stand there. There's not going to be a crowd. You're not going to blend in. A bunch of you people are blenders. Some of us are blenders in the room. We like to blend in. I'm with him. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm with him. The only person I want to be with is him. Is there evidence? But there was also an expectation, which is probably pretty cool. I mean, for the believer in this dispensation, man, we've got the whole book. We know what's coming. The rapture's coming. Heaven's coming. Woohoo! Everlasting joy will be upon their head. Woohoo! No sickness, no sorrow, no parting. It's worth it, gang. It's worth it. We got to believe that. That's an expectation. Well, there was an expectation from Paul to these guys. Chapter 19, he says to them in verse 3, he said, unto what then were you baptized? Unto what then were you baptized? Now, that little word unto is very important. It shows up all through this passage. When he says unto what, the word is eis in the Greek. It means unto or into what were you baptized. But he says that later they're going to be baptized. It actually says in verse 4, it says John verily baptized unto the baptism of repentance. The baptism unto repentance. The word is there all through this passage. The ofs and the withs and all this can be confusing. But in the core of it, he's saying they were baptized under the baptism of John. Now, what I want you to see is there's a lot of different baptisms out there. There's a baptism unto religion that people get when they're babies. You know, there's no baby in the Bible getting baptized. You won't find it. It's not there. Okay? And people want to read into scriptures, and when they do that, they get problems. They say, well, there was circumcision in the Old Testament, and there's circumcision, and then the circumcision now is misplaced by the baptism. You know, we get our babies, get them all religiized, you know. Problem is, it's a loose cannon, right? Because now they're saying you're saved when you get baptized as a baby. Now, no baby gets saved by being baptized, and yet that's the doctrine of many churches. The Lutheran church preaches that. You get baptized in a Lutheran church as a baby, you're saved. Only thing necessary to do now is get confirmed. Let's confirm it. We'll get you through a class. Okay, you got those answers we gave you, so you're good. There's no decision. There's no choice. The Bible says God commands all men everywhere what? Now to repent. And there's no repentance. You can't change your mind because it was made up for you when you were a baby. All I'm saying is there's that kind of baptism. You know what another kind of baptism is? There's a baptism we mentioned a moment ago. Pleasing mommy and daddy. Pleasing the pastor. I'm 10. I want everybody to think I'm a good little boy, a little good little girl. And so I'm going to do what they tell me to do. And that's my baptism. I'm baptized unto being a good boy. Maybe you were baptized unto your parents. Oh, I want to be... My parents took me to church every time. You know, I don't have a drug testimony like you, Pastor. But my drug testimony is I was drugged to church all the time. Right? You know, we were all drugged to church. Would to God we had some people drugging their kids to church. Wait a minute. Don't press my words. You know what I mean. But you know what? Sometimes the kids just... Well, mom and dad went forward one morning and they took Junior by the hand. They went down. Everybody got baptized. What about the baptism of my peers? I was at a camp meeting and everybody was going forward. And I took a stick and it was on fire. And I threw it in and I said, oh, I'm giving my life to Jesus because all my friends are. What will my boyfriend say? You know what that is? That's a baptism unto something other than. Unto what were you baptized? Did you understand? Did you get it? Did you know? Were you saved? He said, we were baptized under the baptism of John. And he says in verse 4, John verily or truly baptized with the baptism of repentance. The word for repentance is metanoia. It means to change the mind. It means to change.